My name is Cor. I'm on the pastoral staff here at Hope, but I have not been around much these last 12 weeks. I was given a sabbatical, which is a huge, huge gift. I know not all professions, not all industries offer that, but as part of this church, this is a huge gift. And so if you're wondering what I did on sabbatical, very briefly, wrote a paper, a really big paper, that will one day get, thank you. Oh, I've been told it's the paper, the book that I have written that no one will ever read. So it's like, that's really encouraging. I rested and refreshed, and sometimes that meant, you know, sitting with a book on my deck, and other times it meant spraying my kitchen cabinets, which after a decade needed it. And for me, that's very life-giving and refreshing. For some of you, like, that's not a rest. That's not good. But for me, it was very, very good. And then the last thing we did was we traveled. We had a chance to go to the North Shore, which we've done many, many times. And we also got the chance to go to Colorado, which I've never experienced. But now I am an ambassador for the great state of Colorado. The mountains, the views, the creeks, the rivers. No bugs. No bugs, friends. Did you know about this great state of Colorado? Unbelievable. Why has nobody ever told me about Colorado? So if we end up moving ever, that will be the state I think we end up in. That's not why you're here. We're here to hear from God. And so but thank you. Thank you for your gift of that sabbatical. It's huge for my family, for me. We are in a series this summer on the parables. And so we have three messages, including today, that are remaining here. We've subtitled this series, Uncovering Good News. Why? Pastor Davis put this description together for us. Parables are short stories with hidden layers of meaning. Okay? It's a certain genre of Bible stories that have hidden layers of meanings. Jesus often borrows a phrase from the Old Testament when telling these stories, such as, whoever has ears to let them hear, or the first shall be last and the last shall be first, things of that nature. Sometimes the messages are clear, but other times the stories appear confusing and even out of place. After the death and resurrection of Jesus, there are no more parables. The hidden layers are showcased to point to Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection in ways that maybe were more obscure or opaque or difficult to see prior to his death and resurrection. So the gospel truly changes everything, including the way we read and understand these stories. And so for today, here's where we're going. This is the plan. We'll do a quick overview of the parable. I'm not going to go through it all and kind of spoil the ending because we want to read through it. We want to feel it. But I'll give you a quick overview of what's going to take place. We'll read through it. Try to absorb as much of the story as is beneficial to determine meaning. Sometimes, even though Jesus gave a story that was common, easily understood, it's like we're separated by time and space. Not many of us have had a chance to live and breathe Middle Eastern air and had a chance to know some of the customs and some of the realities. So just want to make sure that we're all picking up what Jesus is laying down here. Number three, we're going to see the twist. Great stories have twists in them, and this is true of today's story. And I think with that, as we see the twist, we'll probably have some feels. We'll probably experience some of that. We're looking to identify the problem. And in the midst of that, hear ultimately the landowner's words, God's words, God being the landowner in this. And so we ultimately want to hear not what we might experience, not how we might interpret the point of the story, but we ultimately want to hear God saying, this is what I'm intending to communicate. This is what I need you to feel and hear and receive. And so fourthly, lastly, I really want us to sit with this, to process, to let it seep into the cracks and crevices of our heart. Because ultimately, we're not here this morning just to be informed. We want to be transformed. You're not here to hear my words. We want to hear God's words. I hope you don't walk away from this service just knowing more about God, but knowing God more deeply, loving him more passionately. It just was, there's no way I was going to walk away from Colorado having seen God's creation, not having a greater love for God as my creator. And that's the same hope, the same prayer, the same desire I have for us, that as we see God more clearly, his heart revealed more fully, that we'd leave transformed, changed because of what we've seen. So let's jump into this. Just where are we going? The parable summarized is that there's an owner of a vineyard, and it's harvest time. So the owner is going to go get workers. Kind of just imagine in the marketplace going and getting workers at 0 hour or 6 a.m. Some of your Bibles might use 0 hour, third hour, sixth hour, 9 hour. That the starting point of that is 6 a.m. So 0 hour would be 6 a.m., third hour would be 9 a.m. And so forth. And the owner just keeps going back to the marketplace to get more workers. And the twist comes at the end of the day as wages are going to be distributed. There's a twist, and that's where all of a sudden the workers speak up, and then God, the owner of the vineyard, is ultimately going to respond to their comments. And so that's a little overview of where we're going. Let's jump in here. Matthew chapter 20. The verses, as always, will be on the screen, but certainly you can feel free to pull out your Bible and follow along. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. So a couple things to make note of. For the kingdom of heaven is like, for the kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is not a landowner with a vineyard, but is like. There's something that we can glean from this to better understand Jesus in his rule and reign. This idea of a kingdom with a king. Jesus being that king. And so we're going to learn something by way of analogy and comparison about the kingdom of heaven. And it's like a landowner going out very early in the morning, 6 a.m., 0 hour, to hire workers for the vineyard. We need to spend a little bit more time in the next slide unpacking workers and what's in view here, because it might not be readily obvious of us. What you have coming to your mind might be very different than the worker that's actually in view here. So we're going to take some time on that. The owner agreed to pay these zero-hour workers a denarius for the day and sent them into the vineyard to work, to harvest. What's a denarius? Well, as luck would have it, a day's worth of labor. So that's perfect. Like, hey, you're going to work for a day. I'm going to pay you for a day's worth of labor. Perfect. A denarius, right? All right. So that's the setup. That's kind of the story. But just to zero in on workers here for a moment, commentators would speak to roughly three classes. There could be more, but roughly three classes of laborers being in view. The first class would be those that, in all likelihood, lived within the owner's household, had consistent work, did not worry about their next meal and where it was coming from. So in so many ways, the setup was strong for them in their work and their labor and being provided for and housing and food. The next class would have had some inconsistencies, a little bit more like maybe some long-term stints with a landowner, with a property manager, might have had time where they had housing for, let's say, a month or so, and then maybe they would go into a season of looking for the next job and then find somebody that might take them in for a longer stretch of time, kind of. But there's just more gaps in there. In all likelihood, it's the lowest class that's in view here. Those that had no ongoing consistency, nobody looking out for them, nobody inviting them into their household, bringing them in. And so it really was a type of life that was hand to mouth. So if you imagine not knowing where your next meal is coming from, and some maybe have experienced that in your life, just not knowing what's going to be there come tomorrow. That's the class of worker that likely is in view here, hand to mouth, in need of labor, and what that could mean for their own nourishment, but also provision for their family. And just so we're clear, without moving too quickly here, God makes clear provision in the Old Testament for this class of worker. In both parts of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, God says, I see them, I care about them, I don't want them taken advantage of, I don't want them exploited, I don't want them robbed or defrauded. You must, you know, landowner, property manager, you must pay them before the sun goes down. You need to pay them. Why? Because they need food to eat. They need daily provision. They can't wait until the next day. They can't have you forget about them. And so God very clearly makes his heart known that he sees those who are disregarded by society, that God will never let his people be defrauded, robbed, exploited, taken advantage of. That's not his heart. His heart that even amongst the least of these, they'd be cared for. And some of you might feel that way this morning. And maybe it's not financially, maybe just emotionally or relationally. You feel left out, you feel unseen, you feel alone, you feel exploited. For some of you, you might have that experience at work, just feeling unseen despite your labors, despite your efforts. Maybe feeling taken advantage of by your employer. And so just know that God's heart, God's desire is that whoever is regarded as the least of these within society, or maybe you perceive yourself as to be one of the least of these, God sees you, God knows you. That's one of the layers of meaning that we have to see within this parable. Let's keep going. About 9 a.m, so third hour of the day, the landowner went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. It's gonna be repeated throughout this parable. But workers standing around idly doing nothing. The landowner told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard and I will pay you whatever is right." So we're not clear about what they're gonna be paid, just that the landowner says, "I'll pay you whatever is right." Another word for that is just. I'll pay you whatever is right and just. So they went into the vineyard to harvest. Landowner went out again about noon, sixth hour, and then about 3 p.m, the ninth hour, and did the same thing, bringing more workers into the vineyard. Story continues. About 5 p.m, 11th hour of the day, 11th hour of the working day, the landowner went out, found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" They replied, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." They are standing idly by hour 11, 1 hour from the end of the day, calling it a day, standing, doing nothing, non-contributing zeros, right? Just sitting there, nothing. And we might be tempted to think, and it'd be a misinterpretation, that the landowner had need. That's why he kept going back out to the marketplace to get more workers, right? That's how, when I first read it, I'm like, well, just must have a really big vineyard, need more harvesters. An African theologian actually says, that's probably not the case. Listen to what Joe Capolio says about this. The landowner recruited the first batch of laborers at about 6 a.m. These were probably the only laborers needed for the day. But he returned to recruit more at the 3 hourly intervals, including one at the 11th hour, that is at 5 p.m., an hour before the end of the working day. The later groups were hired not so much because the landowner was desperate for more workers, but because they were standing there looking for work. It was their need and his generosity that determined their employment. Do you hear that? It's not because the landowner was in desperate straits. What am I gonna do with this entire field? How am I gonna get it harvested? No, he saw someone in need and his generosity said, I need to bring them in. They have need, let them come and work for me that I might care for them. Do you see that? It's not an intuitive reading of the text. It's not when I went through it the first time saying, oh, that's just big, no. Generosity of the landowner moves toward the person who is in need. Now, every great story has a twist. Here's the twist. When evening came, owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, the 11th hour workers, and then going on to the first. The workers who were hired about 5 p.m. came and each received a denarius. They received the same wage as if they had started at 0 hour, the 11th hour workers got a denarius, full day worth of wages. It's interesting, right? Start with the ones, pay the ones who showed up last. Pay them first, the 11th hour workers. Have them come in the presence of all the workers. Pay them first. And boom, a denarius is given to the 11th hour worker. How's that strike you? Well, if you're a 0 hour worker, or a third hour worker, or a 6 hour, strikes you different. It hits different if you're a 0 hour worker, especially when you come and those who are hired first, they expect you to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said. And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. What's the problem? What's the issue here? If you are a 0 hour worker, or a third hour worker, or a 6 hour, or even a 9th hour worker, you don't want to be treated equally with the 11th hour worker. Why? We bore the burden of the work. We did most of the stuff. We were out there in the heat of the day. They showed up. It's almost time to knock off for the day, to go to happy hour. And they show up and they get the same amount as us. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe. I want to quote Michelle Lee Barnwell, who wrote a book called Surprised by the Parables, Growing in Grace Through the Stories of Jesus. Is that really the problem? The different ways that people are treated? Here's what she says. The point is not that the first workers are underpaid. They're not. The point is that the others are overpaid. The owner gives them more than they expect and deserve. The owner gives the 11th hour worker more than they expect, more than they deserve. So what is the problem? The problem is God's generosity, right? The landowner's generosity, who goes and gives robustly, yes, equally, but robustly to the undeserving. And this isn't just something that we see in a story. This is something that we experience in our lives, struggling to understand God's generosity. The problem's not out there. The problem's in our hearts as we compare ourselves to others and what they got and what we didn't get. I think of like in school when you do group projects. Remember group projects? My wife knows this full well, that there was a guy that she was in class with, one of my buddies. Whenever the professor would call out group project, he would shout out her maiden name, Wachter. He would declare in front of the class, she's in my group. Why? Because she's a 0 hour worker. She's gonna be there, do most of the work, bear the burden, and then when's he gonna show up? 11th hour, right? And in group projects, almost always, everybody gets the same grade in the group, right? And there's something in us. It's just like, it's not right. It's not right. The owner, the professor giving equally when what was displayed was not equal work. God's generosity. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who is generous to the undeserving. The kingdom of God is like a king. When it gets to the end of the day, it's going to look at a number of people that were standing idly by doing nothing and going to treat them as though they had been there the entire day. Going to provide for them, going to care for them, going to ensure that they have bread on the table for them and their families. The generosity, the goodness, the kindness of God in providing for his people. Jesus, the God, the landowner, is going to close our parable, speak clearly here. The landowner answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you. I'm not being unfair to you, friend. 0 hour worker, didn't you agree to work for a denarius, right? Go back to the start, verse 1 and 2. Didn't they agree to work for a denarius, a day's labor? Yes, right? The answer to the question is yes, you agreed to work. I haven't been unfair to you. Take your pay and go. Take your pay. You can provide for yourself and your family. Take your pay. I've given you what you need. I want to give. I, as the landowner, I, as the generous landowner, want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? What's the answer to that question? Of course, right? Of course. He can do whatever he wants. He's the owner. And then this. Or are you envious on account of my generosity? literally, this is what that could be, that phrase could be rendered as. Are you seeing evil where I see good? Do you hear that? Do you see that? I've chosen to be generous. I've chosen to give to the undeserving. I want to make sure they are provided for and their families are provided for. I've displayed my goodness and my love and my generosity. Are you seeing evil where I see good? To which I think, if we're to sit under this and to reveal the state of our hearts, I think we have to be able to say, yeah, God, there are times where I do. I'm envious. I'm jealous. I don't like that others are treated similarly, especially within your kingdom. Some of you grew up in the church. You might see yourselves as more zero hour, a third hour. I came to faith as a 19-year-old, and I remember sitting idly by, doing nothing, not even knowing there was a vineyard, that there was a generous landowner. So for me as a 19-year-old, for some of you even later in life, to be brought into this family, brought into this vineyard, doesn't matter what the time, you're so thankful to be exposed to this general, this generous landlord, this owner of the field. Now, this phrase, so the last will be first and the first will be last. I had a conversation with Davis about this because it seems like this phrase is used here in a way differently than the parable that just came before it. And that one, it did seem like, hey, if you are viewed as the least of these within society, if you leave father and mother, lose relationships on account of the gospel, if you make tremendous sacrifices, no matter what, you've been counted great in the kingdom of God. Sounds like inequality. Then I read the phrase in this and it sounds like, doesn't matter. First, last, first, equal. Seems like a turn of phrase that Jesus is using here to say, it doesn't matter. I want to care for my children, every one of my children. Doesn't matter when you come to faith. Doesn't matter your work or non-work before me. What's most important is the generosity of the landowner and his desire to see the least of these, those who are in need, those who want to come into his family, into his household, into his kingdom, that he might care well for them. That's our parable, but I want to try to drive down even further into a layer of meaning that God might transform our heart, that we might see his heart even more clearly. And for some of you, the retelling of the parable is sufficient. God's spirit is speaking. You're pierced because you know that you feel sometimes you're a zero-hour worker and you see all these third-hour, sixth-hour, ninth-hour, 11th-hour workers. But to be as explicit as I can, let's go through reminding ourselves of the attributes, of the ways that the landowner is described. Five different ways. He's audaciously gracious. It's undeniable. He's just gracious, right? He serves the undeserving. He takes care of those who don't deserve it, right? He ascribes merit to the meritless. I attribute to your account a full day's wage, even though you worked an hour. He's merciful to the miserable, to the least of these, to those who are disregarded, so many times taken advantage of, exploited, defrauded, robbed. The landowner says, I see you in your misery and I'm gonna be merciful toward you. He is most generous to the least deserving. Do you realize that? The third hour worker still don't work a full day, right? So there's some generosity to the third hour worker. The sixth hour worker worked half the day, but is given generosity for the second half of the day, right? But the most generosity is saved for that 11th hour worker, to the least deserving, right? Worked the least, got the same amount. Most generous to the least deserving. Our God is like that. For some of you, you might not believe that as you sit here this morning. That God is gracious, that he serves you, that he's merciful towards you, that he's generous to you. You might feel like life circumstances speak a different word. This parable is here that we might know clearly God's love, God's desires. The kingdom of heaven is like an owner of a vineyard who brings workers into his kingdom, people into his family, many of which did nothing, right? And yet each receives a denarius. And this could be symbolic of spiritual blessings, that there's no second-class citizens within God's economy, but very clearly that nobody will be exploited, defrauded, robbed, taken advantage of. Why? Because God sees you and God knows you and God meets our needs. He is so generous, so kind, so compassionate. Who is Jesus like? You might be thinking, well, he's the narrator. What? Jesus ain't there. He's telling the story. No, he's in the story. If we take this parable and we actually understand it in light of the great storyline of Scripture, Jesus being the hero of the story, we come to recognize that there really is only one zero-hour worker. Scripturally speaking, there's only one worker that meets the sunrise prepared to do the work required of the landowner. Only one. And so when we put Jesus in that spot, he is sent by the owner into the vineyard. Jesus is the one who went early in the morning, who agreed to the wages. You're gonna work, you're gonna live, you're gonna die, be raised, and you are gonna be able to bring in to this vineyard anyone you want. Jesus is the one who never grumbled against the landowner, never grumbled against his father. Not my will, but yours be done. Jesus is the one who truly bore the burden of the work and the heat of the day. If you've opened up your Bible to this passage, what's the next passage? Jesus promising that he's gonna go to the cross on our account. There's only one who's truly going to bear the burden and the heat of the day and the stress and the pain and the brokenness of bearing our sin. There's only one, friends, who goes to the cross. And there's one who made it possible for every 11th hour worker to receive generously from the owner. And truly, that's all of us, 11th hour workers. Maybe coming in not at the 11th hour, but maybe right before the 12th hour, like 11:59, hearing this good word of a generous landowner, of a worker who's made it available to us. So what are we like? We are like that 11th hour worker, many times jealous, envious, grumbling. We stand all day long doing nothing as Jesus does a work that only he can do. Sometimes we wrongly believe God owes us more. Owes us a different life, different relationships, a better job, a better title, more pay. Many times we give ourselves to low views of who God is, just like those 0 and 3 hour and 6 hour workers, about what he's going to do or failing to do in our world. If you think about the fact that you stand in Christ, if you've made the decision to follow Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you stand with a denarius, which is indicative that you lack no spiritual blessing in Christ. You're treated exactly equal as any spiritual leader, any pastor, any podcaster that you might look up to. You stand in equal standing with that Christian. You look over, and you know what they have in their hands? One denarius, same as you. Why envy? Why stand in jealousy? God in his generosity has cared for you. He's provided for you. How sad that we would get envious or jealous of another. And even worse, that we would look to somebody who's outside the kingdom of heaven, who's not trusting in Jesus, whose hands are still empty, and get envious of them, jealous of them, of what they're experiencing in life. We've been given so much, friends. We've been given so much in the gospel. Despite all of our grumbling and complaining, we stand there with a denarius in our hands. We lack for no spiritual blessing in Christ. Barnwell sums it up very effectively for us. We're strongly oriented toward justice in comparisons with other people matter a lot to us. We don't just think about how we are doing, the fact that we have a denarius. We think about how we are doing compared with everyone else. And that affects how we act. That affects our faith. But while we are wired for fairness, grace, amazing grace is what transforms and heals. We think differently when we focus on God's grace. Can you imagine what the last hired workers thought? Each passing hour would have increased their dread and having to return home to tell their families that they had failed to provide and everyone would go hungry. Instead, though, they realized that they wouldn't have to do this, that their families would have enough, even though they knew they did not deserve it. I suspect they would have been overjoyed at their good fortune, profoundly relieved, and extraordinarily grateful. I have some questions that I want to ask you. There's two on the screen, but I have probably two dozen. And in this, just open your heart, open your mind, open your soul to Jesus. Just if any of these he might speak to. Do you believe God owes you something? Are you seeing yourself more as a zero-hour worker than an 11th-hour worker? Do you see yourself as having bore the burden of the day, worked harder than others in the heat and the toil? Have you given yourself to a low view of God, that he is robbing you somehow, exploiting you, taking advantage of you? Do you have a narrative that has crept in amongst your thoughts and your hearts that somehow God has been less generous toward you? Friends, that's a low view of God. Has it crept in there? The denarius you hold was given by grace. Scripture says that if he did not spare his son, that he did not withhold his son, his priceless, valuable son, but gave himself for us, will he not also with Christ graciously give us all things? God doesn't owe us anything. He has given us above we could possibly ask for or ever imagine in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And secondly, will we let God's generous heart transform our jealous hearts? I was transformed. I saw God as creator more beautifully, more wonderfully on account of seeing the mountains of Colorado. As you see God's heart, that he's not there to defraud or exploit or make angry the zero-hour workers, but rather sent his son as the true zero-hour worker. As you see his generosity, his kindness, are you transformed? Have you ever seen God's generosity as a problem? Have you seen evil where God intends you to see good? He is generous. He's kind. Be slow in your arbitration as the judge of what is good and evil, what is just and unjust, what is fair and unfair. Isn't it all God's? Doesn't God, as the owner of everything, have the right to give, to be generous, to be kind, to be compassionate? Ultimately, aren't all of us recipients of his kindness and goodness? Hope Community, God loves you so much. God sees you. You as the 11th hour worker, you as the least of these, you who may feel exploited, taken advantage of by the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of heaven is different. It's like a vineyard owner that wants to be generous to all that come into his household. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. That's who our God is like. Rejoice, Hope Community. I say it again, rejoice in the goodness and kindness and generosity of God. Let's pray together. So wonderful, so generous, so beautiful. God, your word challenges us. It confronts us. Many times I have a low view of you. I have a high view of myself. And this parable just flips that on end. God, may each of us have a higher view of you, your kindness, your goodness, your generosity. You are far more loving and compassionate than we ever give you credit for. God, many times we are often more lowly, more in need, more undeserving than we would ever ascribe to ourselves. But God, if we are to see ourselves as 11th hour workers, we will show display, proclaim, rejoice of your generosity. But yeah, if we see ourselves as zero-hour workers, you're not that good. You're not that generation. We don't need you. We've worked for it. We've bore the burden of the day and the heat. We've done it ourselves. It's just not the scriptures. It's not your story, God. That's not your gospel. So help us, God, to once again hear and see your good, your heart, your love. For those who are hearing some of this for the first time, God, allow your spirit to make clear what might feel a little bit fuzzy. Jesus, be the picture on the cross for them of your compassion, your generosity. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.